The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you first from Kiplinger's magazine, continuing something we started last week, didn't have time to finish, and then we'll see where that takes us. I have a couple of articles from the internet that you might enjoy. Last week, I started an article on 10 smart places to retire, and this was a list of 10 cities that the magazine had put together that had cultural activities, they had some kind of good medical care, a university or college locally, and they had an index. Their listing system was to give figures on U.S. Census Bureau data for cost of living and for median home prices. And the number given for cost of living data, 100, represents the national median. The median home prices were provided by Redfin, Zillow, and local associations of realtors. We covered St. Augustine, Florida, Savannah, Georgia, Richmond, Virginia, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, Hanover, New Hampshire, and Evanston, Illinois, and that left us with a few more to go. So we will pick it up with the next one, which is Fayetteville, Arkansas. Population, 86,751. Cost of living, on the 100 scale, 87. Median home price, $230,000. College perk, residents age 60 and older can take classes at the University of Arkansas, tuition free. Looking for an active yet funky college town with a bit of southern hospitality? You will feel right at home in Fayetteville. A vibrant, economically and culturally diverse mecca in the Ozarks, Fayetteville attracts a variety of people from around the country. Josh Rainey, director of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at the University of Arkansas, says retirees follow their children. Mid-career professionals who may work for local Fortune 500 companies such as Walmart, Tyson Foods, and J.B. Hunt Transport Services. Retirees come here to retire and take care of the grandkids, he says. They are also attracted by the diverse and active arts and culture scene, as well as a variety of sports and recreational activities, including more than 30 miles of trails for hiking, biking, and running. A major driver of the downtown region's economy is the University of Arkansas. Founded in 1871, U of A's Fayetteville campus is the flagship of the state university system, with 27,000 students enrolled across 10 colleges and schools that offer more than 210 academic programs. Arkansas's age 60 and older can enroll in 4-credit undergraduate and graduate courses tuition-free based on space availability. Rainey says that retirees are active in university events as well as outdoor programs through his institute. Residents seeking health care can go to the 4-star Mercy Hospital Northwest, Arkansas, located 21 miles away in Rogers, Arkansas. Housing options range from condos downtown, where a 2-bedroom, 1,056-square-foot condo townhome goes for $115,000, to homes west of the city near Savoy, where a 3-bedroom, 1,760-square-foot house sells for $372,500. Retirement communities such as Grand Village at Clear Creek are gaining popularity. Social Security benefits aren't taxed in Arkansas, and up to $6,000 of retirement income, including IRA distributions, is exempt from state income taxes. However, Arkansas imposes a 6.5% sales tax, and localities can add as much as 5.13%. Food is also taxed by the state at 1.5%, and localities can add their own taxes. Next, we have Flagstaff, Arizona. Population, 73,964. Cost of living, 116, median home price $362,000, college perk, Northern Arizona University works with retiree volunteers to partner with the city's dozens of nonprofits. At an elevation of 7,000 feet, this mountain town swaddled by sweet-smelling ponderosa pine trees has plenty to offer retirees by way of outdoor activities, top-tier dining, volunteer opportunities, and seasonable weather. Snowbirds, take heed. This is not the sun-bleached Arizona you may be thinking of. Despite its crisp lack of humidity, it regularly receives about 100 inches of snow every winter. Residents can enjoy four beautiful seasons in Flagstaff, says Meg Roederer of the Flagstaff Convention and Visitors Bureau. She graduated from Northern Arizona University, located at the heart of Flagstaff, 30 years ago and never looked back. Between the student, professional, and retirement populations, the city has a real vibrancy, she says. Don't be fooled by downtown Flagstaff's sleepy western vibe. It's really a mountain foodie town, Roederer says. It has more than 200 restaurants and award-winning craft beers in abundance along a brewery trail. Single-family homes in Flagstaff aren't cheap. Expect to pay $500,000 or more for a three-bedroom, two-bath home. Condos and townhomes are available for about $200,000 to $300,000. Rents for luxury apartments run about $1,200 to $1,400 a month. The Flagstaff Medical Center, a regional hospital, has a five-star rating from Medicare. Designated a bicycle-friendly community by the League of American Bicyclists since 2006, the city offers more than 130 miles of bike lanes and another 56 miles of multi-use urban trails. If skiing is your thing, Arizona's tallest mountains, the San Francisco Peaks, are a 30-minute drive from the city. If skiing isn't your thing, there's a chairlift that offers breathtaking views. The Grand Canyon is roughly 90 minutes north by car. Northern Arizona University offers events year-round that are open to the public, including free summer seminars, symphony concerts with reduced admission for seniors, and community welcome events staffed by NAU students for both new and longtime Flagstaff residents. But maybe the most compelling draw to the city can be found in a squat beige building on Northern Arizona's campus. Through NAU's Civic Service Institute, retirees can find volunteering opportunities at any of the dozens of nonprofits that call Flagstaff home. Everything from supporting Habitat for Humanity to tutoring elementary students. A lot of new retirees find that getting involved in this kind of work is a great way to build community and find like-minded people, says Erin Cruz, the Senior Programs Project Director. Arizona exempts Social Security benefits from state taxes, along with up to $2,500 in income from military or Arizona state and local pensions. Income from IRAs and other retirement plans is taxable at a top rate of 4.54%. And then we have Claremont, California. Population, 36,478. Cost of living, 148. Median home price, $719,000. College perk, Claremont Avenues for Lifelong Learning, which allows people age 60 or older to audit college courses at seven colleges for free. Unlike much of the suburban sprawl around Los Angeles, Claremont has a real downtown. More than 23,000 publicly owned trees, and a tradition of civic engagement brought west by the New Englanders who founded Pomona College, says Colin Tudor, Assistant Vice President for Community Relations of Claremont College Services. Claremont has critical college mass with seven colleges that make up the Claremont Colleges: Claremont McKenna College, Claremont Graduate University, Harvey Mudd College, Keck Graduate Institute, Pitzer College, Pomona College, and Scripps College. They sponsor innumerable educational, cultural, and sporting events. Eight times a year, the colleges publish and distribute a calendar of events open to the public, including live performances, lectures, art shows, and more. Most are free or low cost. The walkable downtown, known as The Village, is a major draw, with lots of independently owned businesses, restaurants, and a public square where the Claremont Farmers and Artisans Market take place once a week. The city sponsors various festivals, including the annual Claremont Pie Festival in March, a July 4th program with fireworks at Pomona College, and a Halloween spooktacular. If you want to get outdoors, the city has 23 parks, including the Claremont Hills Wilderness Park. Located at the base of the San Gabriel Mountains and the Angeles National Forest, the Wilderness Park has plenty of hiking trails. The 86-acre Rancho Santa Ana Botanic Garden is dedicated to native California plants. Claremont is almost always sunny. It can be hot during the day, especially in the summer, but it's dry heat. It cools down at night, and it isn't buggy, says Danielle Fontes, president of the Citrus Valley Association of Realtors. To get out of town without fighting L.A.'s notorious traffic, you can hop on a Metrolink train at the Claremont station. The system serves six counties, including northern San Diego County. It's about an hour or an hour and a half trip to Los Angeles. Ontario International Airport is about a 15-minute drive away. Two five-star hospitals are located about 10 miles from Claremont, Chino Valley Medical Center and Glendora Community Hospital. Housing in Claremont is primarily single-story, ranch-style, single-family homes. Three-bedroom, two-bath homes listed for sale in June ranged in price from $400,000 to $1.3 million. Condos and townhomes with two bedrooms and two bathrooms were $300,000 to $500,000. If you're coming from the west side of L.A., it looks affordable. But if you're from Iowa, probably not, says Tudor. Claremont also has four continuing care retirement communities. The oldest of them, Pilgrim Place, was founded in 1915 to serve missionaries returning from overseas. Today, its residents come from all over the country. In the fall, the community sponsors the Pilgrim Place Festival. It's like being thrown back 50 years, where people are all saying hello to one another, the kids have smiles on their faces, and everyone's eating snow cones, says Joyce Yarborough, vice president of fundraising and recruitment. California doesn't tax Social Security, and residents over 65 can claim a tax credit of $118 from state taxes, but other retirement income is taxed at a rate of up to 13.3%. And then Olympia, Washington. Population 52,555. Cost of living 106. Median home price $345,000. College perk. Evergreen College offers free classes for retirees 60 and older. Olympia, the state capital, is only about an hour away from Seattle, but significantly more affordable. The median single-family home price is roughly $330,000 compared with more than $700,000 for Seattle, says Jim Green, the designated broker and owner of Green Realty Group. If renting is more your speed, you can get a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bathroom house for about $1,750 a month. At Evergreen State College, older adults can register as special students, which allows them to take courses without going through admission. Residents 60 and older can have tuition waived for up to 8 credits per quarter. Active retirees will find plenty to do. The Olympia Film Society showcases independent and classic films at the historic Capitol Theater, a city landmark. Art collectors won't want to miss the semi-annual Arts Walk, featuring paintings, sculptures, photography, and more. The South Sound Wine Trail and the South Sound Coffee Trail run through Olympia. It's also home to the South Sound Craft Crawl, which highlights locally made beer and cider. If you're looking for an actual trail, the 14.5-mile Yelm Tenino bike trail lies 40 minutes southeast of Olympia. Kennedale Park, 7 miles from downtown, is home to 40 acres and 1,000 feet of freshwater beach. Washington has no state income tax, so income from pensions, Social Security, and withdrawals from retirement accounts is tax-free. And that's the end of this list of 10 great towns for retirees. After that, we have a commentary on retirement. This is Living in Retirement, commentary by Janet Bodnar. She is the editor-at-large of Kiplinger's Personal Finance. She can be contacted at jbodnar@kiplinger.com. And she says, "Now that I'm retired, people often ask me if I'm planning to move. The short answer, not anytime soon. My husband and I live in a location that's easily accessible to activities, friends, and family members, both near and far. Our house is large enough to accommodate out-of-town guests, but not so big that we rattle around in it. Our mortgage is paid off, and I don't have a burning desire to live anywhere else, at least for now. That makes me pretty typical of retirees, according to a study by Age Wave and Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Their research shows that 36% of retirees do not anticipate moving in retirement, but more than one-third, 37% of retirees have moved, and 27% expect to move at some point. Among those who have relocated, about half downsized, but a surprising 30% moved up to a larger home. That stunned us," says Ken Dykewald, CEO of AgeWave. "Those who upsized," says Dykewald, "wanted a house where they could add an office or where grandchildren could come and spend the summer." Respondents in the AgeWave study said their primary reason for moving was to be closer to family, but no single reason and no single destination makes sense for everyone. Decades ago, people thought of relocating to places where they vacationed, such as Phoenix and Miami, says Dykewald. Now they look for somewhere that's stimulating, has access to excellent health care, and a community of folks to interact with. Before you make a move, make sure that you and your spouse agree on the destination. It's not uncommon for one of you to dream of being closer to the grandkids, while the other prefers to bask in a warmer clime. Ask yourself if you'd still be happy if the temperature soared or the grandkids didn't visit often. And consider your finances. If you're hoping to unlock your home equity, Fidelity estimates that transaction and moving costs can eat up as much as 13% of the sale price of your home. Do your homework and learn from the successes and failures of others, says Dykewald. Reality check. A good place to start is with the experience of Kiplinger's readers such as Mark and Sharon Koenig. The Koenigs agreed on several criteria for a retirement location when they moved from South Carolina. A climate with less heat and humidity, a place their scattered kids would visit, proximity to a major airport, and a community that would allow them to meet new friends. They settled on an active living community near Denver, and things couldn't have worked out better for us, says Mark. A number of readers turned into reverse snowbirds as they got older. After a wonderful 20-plus year vacation in Florida, Joe and Ginger Sissel say they moved back to Wisconsin to reconnect with old friends, be closer to the family we love, and start a new adventure. Sometimes a retirement move hits a speed bump. Together with another couple, Tom and Gail King bought a home in Belize. The other couple decided almost immediately that an expat community wasn't for them and returned home. The Kings traveled back and forth for several years before selling the house and returning to New Mexico because, says Tom, I didn't have enough to keep me busy. Before retiring overseas, he advises, rent for at least 1 year or one season to see if you like it. That's good advice wherever you decide to go. And be prepared to adapt. One New Jersey couple, Nancy and Gary, had always planned to spend their time at their Florida condo when Gary retired. But when the time came, it was hard for Nancy to step away from her volunteer activities, including a youth group and a basketball program. The solution? During the couple's initial 3.5-month stay in Florida, Nancy returned home for a basketball fundraiser, and she is stepping up her volunteer time over the summer. The best thing is to talk it through, she says. I figured out a way to spend time with my husband in Florida and still get joy from my volunteer work. Now, next, I am going to read you an article that I found on the website for the National Geographic Society, and this was something just released in July. National Geographic celebrates the work and legacy of Dr. Jane Goodall. On the heels of the success of National Geographic documentary films Jane, the most celebrated film of 2017, which received a BAFTA nomination and was named Best Documentary of 2017 by 18 national critics groups, the Producers Guild of America, American Cinema Editors, the Broadcast Film Critics Association, and the National Board of Review, the network announced today that it is taking a fresh new look at Jane Goodall's incredible conservation work in the upcoming television special, Jane Goodall, The Hope. It's been nearly 60 years since Goodall, Ph.D., DBE, founder of the Jane Goodall Institute, and UN Messenger of Peace, first traveled to what is today Tanzania and courageously entered the little-known world of chimpanzees. By the mid-1980s, Goodall realized that chimpanzee populations were decreasing because of habitat destruction, the live animal and bushmeat trades, and the primates' susceptibility to human diseases. She also witnessed that the people who lived in many of the communities surrounding the chimpanzees' habitat struggled with poverty and the lack of health and education facilities. Goodall realized that only by improving the lives of these people could humans hope to protect chimpanzees and their forests. She became increasingly concerned about the plight of infant chimpanzees orphaned by the bushmeat trade and those in captive situations. Finally, she realized that unless young people became better stewards than previous generations, all efforts to conserve the natural world would be made in vain. This led her to Roots and Shoots program that now has thousands of members of all ages in some 60 countries, all involved in hands-on projects to help people, animals, and the environment. From producer Lucky Eight, Jane Goodall, The Hope, celebrates Goodall's work and explores the ways in which her passion for wildlife has changed the world for the better. This new perspective illustrates the obstacles that Goodall has faced throughout her career and shows how, with a dedicated team and unshakable drive, she has overcome those obstacles to become one of the most important names in wildlife conservation. Jane Goodall, The Hope, is currently in production and will air globally in 172 countries and 43 languages. The special is timed to the 60th anniversary of the beginning of Goodall's work in Gombe in July 1960 and pays homage to the important impact her work has had on the world. This powerful special aims to shed a new light on how Jane's commitment to her cause has transformed the way in which we think about wildlife conservation, said Janet Hahn Vissering, Senior Vice President of Production and Development for National Geographic Global Networks. Now more than ever, it's important to highlight stories of hope that inspire viewers to work together to protect our planet. Jane revolutionized our understanding of the natural world, and we are honored to be able to continue celebrating her legacy as one of the most influential women of our time. The story begins where Jane left off and showcases Goodall's impact through her commitment to protect chimpanzees living in the wild. Through the Jane Goodall Institute's Community-Centered Conservation Program, TACARE, now active in 6 African countries, and to improve the well-being of chimpanzees in captivity and at sanctuaries such as the Institute's Chimpaunga Chimpanzee Rehabilitation Center in the Republic of the Congo. Told through a combination of archival footage, present-day stories, and on-camera interviews, Jane Goodall, The Hope, is an inspirational story that explores Goodall's vast legacy and charts the many paths that stem from one woman's hope for a better future. About Dr. Jane Goodall and the Jane Goodall Institute. The Jane Goodall Institute, JGI, is a global community-centered conservation organization founded in 1977 that advances the vision and work of Dr. Jane Goodall in over 30 countries around the world. We aim to understand and protect chimpanzees, other apes, and their habitats, and empower people to be compassionate citizens in order to inspire conservation of the natural world we all share. JGI uses research, collaboration with local communities, best-in-class animal welfare standards, and the innovative use of science and technology to inspire hope and transform it into action for the common good. Through our Roots and Shoots program for young people of all ages, now active in over 50 countries around the world, JGI is creating an informed and compassionate critical mass of people who will help create a better world for people, other animals, and our shared environment. For more information about the Jane Goodall Institute, you can visit www.janegoodall.org or find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And we'll close today with a short piece from the AARP Bulletin for July-August on more animal care. This is Care for Critters in Green River, Wyoming. Maxine Yeager's friend gave up her own medication to afford treatment for her sick dog, a difficult choice that eventually landed her in the hospital. After that incident 4 years ago, Yeager vowed to do more for older pet owners on limited incomes who face social isolation. Her companionship with that pet was her life, said Yeager, 53, of Green River, Wyoming, who has a 10-year-old Springer Spaniel. It's more than just a pet for a lot of our old adults. It's their family. She threw her efforts and crafting skills into Care for Critters, an AARP-supported program that last year raised nearly $2,800 in donations and aided more than 130 people in southwest Wyoming. She's always thinking of things that can help people, said Shirley Woodward, 77, of Rock Springs, who received nearly $300 worth of assistance for vaccines and medicines for her five dogs. Yeager makes donating easy. She builds three-dimensional doghouses out of black foam board, then attaches bone and paw-shaped tags listing dollar amounts or items people need. Then she takes the doghouses to pet stores and veterinary offices. You know you're touching a life and becoming an anchor to someone who might be isolated, she said. It's letting the whole community reach out. So that's a nice positive note to end on, because it looks like we've just about run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. We hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll come back and listen next time. I'm Florence Nash, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call at 919-832-5138.